All right, there is chapter 3 of the notes that you've received this evening. Did we have enough to go around, Jake? Okay. And God's tool of transformation. Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, this is a reference to the purification of gold. You know, when you mine gold, you have to heat it up really, really hot, and the gold settles to the bottom, and the slag settles to the top, and you skim off the top. And that's what it's called being tried. It goes under heat, and so we have trials and problems. And Job says, you know, let God transform you. Let God use you. And so God uses problems in several different ways, and we're going to be looking at these ways this evening. Number one, he uses them to humble us. Number two, he makes us depend on him. He makes us depend on him. And number three, he uses problems to chasten and instruct us. And number four, to develop our character. And finally, number five, to prepare us to help others. So let's take them one at a time. First off, God uses problems to humble us. God humbled Israel. Now, it's in your notes there. It's not on the PowerPoint, but Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, "And thou shalt redeem all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." God used the problems related to Israel to humble them. You see, the attitude of pride curtails believers' usefulness for the cause of Christ. And God warns, God wants to use us, and he wants to use us effectively, and he wants us to be Christ-like or humble. You know, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ." And that's Philippians 2, 1 through 8, "who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation," and so on and so on and so on. So God wants to accomplish his end, and he may use problems. He may use problems to humble us. Now, God uses problems to make us depend on him as well. We are often too self-sufficient. I addressed that in an earlier program. You know, God uses problems to break that. And we have the attitude, "I can do it myself. I don't need any help." And that's sometimes our attitude. And that's God wants us to ask for help, and he's willing and able to give us his help. I'm thinking of John chapter 15, verse 5. The Lord says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And then it says this, "For without me ye can do nothing." God may allow problems into my life, into your life, so that we'll get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes back on him. God uses problems so that we can depend on him. It's really very, very interesting. It says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." That is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. You know, I find when I'm doing things on my own way, doing my own things, I can really make a mess of things. I don't know where any of you other experience that, but there's been times in my life where I've kind of taken a detour from God, and you know, James 4:4 says the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and when you're unstable, a lot of times you make wrong choices and wrong decisions, and you make a mess of things. And that again, John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know, I have I'm going to have a great grape crop this year, and it's very, very interesting because if what happened the other day comes along, I was with the weed eater and I didn't realize it, and I was doing some weed eating, and I cut off one of the tender grape branches or vines, a portion of the vines that was there. And then all of a sudden I saw this brownie dried up thing and thought, oh no, there's some kind of a bug get into my grapes or what happened here? Well, no, it just got cut off from the vine. The branch got cut up for the vine, and it wasn't successful. And when we get cut off from the vine, you know, without me, ye can do nothing. We get our nourishment, we get our direction, we get our strength from the Lord, and we're not sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. Another passage is Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. You know, Proverbs says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know, we have an old nature, and when we, James chapter 3 verse 15 says there's wisdom from above and wisdom from beneath. And the wisdom from beneath is earthly, sensual, and demonic, or devilish. It says earthly, sensual, and devilish. And so when we do it on our own, we either make decisions on an earthly basis, which leave God out, or make it on a sensual basis, and what that is, by our feelings, by our emotions, by our desires, or, you know, it's like the devil whispering in our ear saying, I want you to do this. I want to control that. You know, he tries to get us to put our old nature back in gear, and he can't force us to do that, but we can choose to do that. And when we choose to do that, oh, the ends thereof are the ways of death. Oh God, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Bible makes it clear that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's why you need to keep in close contact to the Lord. Now, sometimes God uses problems to chasten or instruct us. Now, there's a twofold meaning here. Chasten has a twofold meaning, and it is this. First, it refers to physical chastening. Secondly, it refers to verbal instruction. You know, Hebrews, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. I've been to the woodshed by the Lord several times, and I don't want to go there again. I don't want to go there again, but if we keep doing our own thing and going our own way, what son is there that the Lord does not chasten? That's the issue. God isn't going to let us go in our own way. So sometimes he'll bring a financial setback. Sometimes he'll bring a physical setback. Sometimes he'll just make us so uneasy. But the second thing is, refers to verbal instruction. I never physically disciplined my children first. I first gave them verbal instructions, and if they didn't follow the verbal instructions, there was the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. God uses problems to chasten and or instruct us. The Lord may allow problems in our lives to chasten us. That's one of the reasons, if you think about this, that's one of the reasons that Israel faced the wilderness experience. According to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee." Let me take you back a little bit. You know why the Lord took them 40 years in the wilderness, don't you? Do you remember when they sent the spies into the land? And they were 40 days in the land. And it happened to be that of the 12 spies that were sent into the land, 10 of them said, "Oh, where's grasshoppers in their sight? There's no way that we can do this." Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go in and take it. It's the land of milk and honey. You should have seen the grapes of Eshcol. They had to be carried between a staff. They were so good, so great." But the 10 there that gave the evil report, the Israelites followed the evil report. And so for every day that they were in there and came back with an evil report, they wandered a year in the wilderness. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. We just need to get a hold of that and understand. And then problems, they actually provide for us opportunities to learn. There's the opportunity to learn obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 8. Let me get it for you here. In Hebrews chapter 5, down in verse 8, it says, "Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." He says, be patient. Be also patient. Sometimes things don't happen. Most of the time, things don't happen in my time frame. You know what I want? I want it now! You know, I want prayer. I want it answered now. But that isn't always God's way. He says, be thou patient, establish your heart, just realize God's in control, and he'll answer it according to the counsel of his will. So problems provide the opportunity to learn obedience and be patient. Problems provide the opportunity to put theory into practice. James 1 and in verse 22... James 1, down in verse 22, it says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, my friends, a lot of us here know a lot of the word of God. But just because we know a lot of the word of God, a lot of it is theory up here in our heads, and we have not put it into practice in our lives. "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, it also provides the opportunity to break sinful habit patterns. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the lust of the flesh of men, but to the will of God. You know, each and every one of us have sins that easily beset us. And we're to put those off, and sometimes God brings problems into our lives, so it gives us an opportunity to break those sinful habit patterns that we have developed by doing them over and over and over and over and over again in our lives. It offers the opportunity for real learning. You know, there's some people who are real good at book learning, but I was always better when I was with my dad if my dad would actually demonstrate for me how to do things. I learned very early on how to safely use a chainsaw. I learned how to safely tie the right kind of knots because my dad cut down huge trees. And a lot of times I would have to be on the back of the rope, and my dad would want the big branch up there. He would tie it with a particular knot, and he would leave about 5 feet of slack there. And I learned how to wrap the rope around the tree because I couldn't hold that heavy limb myself. But if I wrapped it around the tree, it would drop, and some of the rope would zip a little bit, but it was wrapped around the tree so I could stop it. I learned a lot of things. Instead of somebody telling you how to do that, I actually saw it with my eye. In Psalm 119, 67, it says this. In verse 67, it says this. David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." He had the real opportunity for learning. And then we get down to verse 71. It says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Real learning. Before, he knew what the word was, but he didn't do it. But now, he's afflicted and he does it. Verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness hath afflicted me." We might not like it, but sometimes problems come into our life because God wants us to get it from the theory level to the practical level in our lives. You know, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, James 1, 3 and 4, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A good illustration of what I'm talking about is the life of Joseph. Joseph of old. Now, he lived a life of ease in the early days. He was a softy. He was a selfish, self-centered, egotistical, spoiled brat. He was the favorite. He had this wonderful coat especially made for him. His brothers envied him and hated him. In addition, he had a superiority complex. He had a dream that he was ruling over his brothers. That went over good. He thought he was better than the other kids in the family, and he let them know it. And his brothers wanted to kill him. You can read all that about in Genesis chapter 37 there. And they would have killed him because they kidnapped him, but if it wouldn't have been for one of his brothers interceding, they probably would have killed him. And so What happens is he gets sold into slavery, and God used the problems and the trials at the hands of his brothers, and then Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar, he was a strapping young man, and she wanted to have sex with him, and he refused that, and she reached out and grabbed him to try and pull him to herself, and he just left his tunic in her hand, and then so he accused him of trying to rape her, and Potiphar believed it and threw him in prison. And yet God used that problem to make quite a man of him. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when there's a famine in the land and his family has to come for food or starve to death, and he finally reveals them, they're afraid that they are toast. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, I'm just citing it for many, he says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many alive this day." Man, oh man, look at all that. And the selfish, self-centered brat, and he becomes the second most powerful man in Egypt. And God uses him mightily. Well, let's see what's going on here. It won't let me go to the next one. There we go. God uses problems to develop our character. Yeah, we got that. Let's try one more time. There we go. Let me summarize this. Problems are a part of our educational curriculum in God's College of Confirmation, making us like Christ. All believers are working for their PhD in Christ's likeness, whether you like it or not. We must not look at problems as the enemy, but ask the Lord to help us to understand his purpose in the problems we're facing and cooperate with him so that we grow into Christ's likeness through these problems. Now, God uses problems to humble us, summarizing it. God uses problems to make us depend on him. God uses problems to chasten and instruct us. God uses problems to develop our character. And then God uses problems to help us help others. You know, God takes us through certain things so that we in turn can help others who are going through the same thing. From time to time, I have to deal with ladies who've had the tragedy of abortion. God can heal and forgive them. But what I do is I don't try and counsel them myself or have my wife counsel them. I know a lady who has gone through that. She's been saved, and God has helped her through the situation and given her forgiveness. And then that person who has gone through that difficulty can identify with her and can share with her what God used to help her through the situation. All right. Chapter number 4, I'm not going to be able to get very far. I'll get as far as I can, and you'll have to take the notes because there's a whole chapter on this. But if you're really going to deal with problems, you got to define problems. We've looked at three principles for biblical problem solving so far. Face the problems realistically. Invite the Lord's help. Understand how God uses problems. We just did look at that. And then you got to categorize your problem. There's two major groups of problems. The problem is either changeable or unchangeable. There are some problems that are unchangeable. You know, It says this in Psalm 62:5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Unchangeable problems, for example, diseases that there's not a cure for, disabilities, deaths, those are some unchangeable problems. You know, I already used Mark's dad for an example, but an unchangeable problem is that Pastor J. Paul Reno is never going to have his sight back. That's an unchangeable problem. And if you let that get the victory on you, then you're going to sit there and have a pity party instead of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, unfulfilled, you know, you need to give your expectations from God. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Unfulfilled expectations will lead to frustration and bitterness. And Paul prayed that God would heal his thorn in the flesh 3 times. He didn't do it, but he didn't get bitter about it. And you have to give your expectations from God. We can endure unchangeable problems with God's help. My sister, she's a believer, but she just recently had her right arm removed just under her, just right there. That's unchangeable. She's never going to get that arm back. I'm praying that she'll accept that and that she'll work to get a prosthetic arm and learn how to use it, but that's unchangeable. And we need to realize that we can depend upon the Lord. We see this. We need to look to the Lord for strength and for wisdom, and we need to pour out our heart before God. We see there's a bunch of them, but Psalm 62, 6 through 8, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." And then, of course, Psalm 48:1 that I quote so often, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble." And then there's James, chapter 1 and verse 5, which we already know about that. Boy, this thing is having a hard time tonight. There it is. The next thing is know that if the Lord allows an unchangeable problem, he will provide the grace you need and uphold you. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Well, there's unchangeable problems and there's changeable problems. If you want to know about changeable problems, the best thing to do is to study the book of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is helpful for us to understand how to define a problem accurately. First, you probe to see how big the problem is. We don't have time to look at this. I've got to stop, but in Nehemiah 2, 11 through 16, there's a problem. There's a wall that's down. Nehemiah carefully, he finds out the depth of the problem so nothing takes him by surprise. And then you need to investigate to see who or what is involved in the problem. A lot of times problems have many fingers and many webs in them. Now, that's as far as I got time to go, but you do have the rest of the notes there that we'll go through and give you some help on that. We just didn't have enough nights to cover it all, and I trust that it has been helpful to you. Now,